the sermon today, and just in this day, Lord, we remember on 9/11, so many thoughts come to our minds. We pray for our country, our world right now. Lord, speak to us through this time of worship now, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. Appreciate you coming out to be with us as we worship the Lord together. On this date, 21 years ago, our nation was attacked. After the Twin Towers fell and the Pentagon was hit and the jet crash landed in Stony Creek, Somerset County, Pennsylvania, all in all, about 3,000 American lives, innocent lives, were taken. One of the cries that rang out at that time was, "We will never forget." So today, we will not forget. We will remember. After we watched this video, Reverend Bill Tanner, former missionary and pastor, will pray for those who family members survived and for our nation.
Will you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this holy Sabbath day that we come in freedom to a place such as this, to worship you and to lift up our praises. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. We're reminded as we reflect on our lives from time to time, terrible, tragic things take place. But as we remember this day 21 years ago, Lord, may we always be careful to be reminded that from you comes our protection and our help in times of trouble. Lord, may we remember those who have succumbed to the terrible tragedy that occurred on that day, that we might lift up those who are survivors, that we may constantly be reminded that we depend on you, Lord, for our protection. We live in a free land because of your goodness and your mercy. We ask you to bless those who survived that they may give thanks to you, Almighty God. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. This we pray through the name that is above every name, Christ Jesus our Lord. Let it be so, Lord, let it be so. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. You have your bulletins. Find in there the outline, if you will, for the message this morning. We're in a series that I began a little while ago called Getting Through What You're Going Through. This is part four. And today I want us to look at surrender and how surrendering leads to the path of peace. Now, all of us can probably identify with this video. Either we were Mary, or guys, we could be Mark, or we know somebody who's been them. Maybe you know somebody who's going through that. Maybe you are experiencing that. Maybe you experienced a loss a long time ago. And then a video like this kind of brings up those pangs of loneliness or sadness. How do we go through these kinds of losses that help us get to the path where we begin to feel at peace again. The way we do that is through surrender. Now, I want to use a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 12, where King David, you remember the story, King David had an affair with Bathsheba, and he had her husband killed, and they had a child. And we pick the story up here because David's child wasn't doing well. Now, the outline you have has the verses on there, and you can follow along with me. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, it says, David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the 17th day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him that the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food, and he ate. His advisors were amazed. We don't understand you, they told him. While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now the child is dead. You have stopped your mourning and you're eating again. And David replied, I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps, just perhaps, the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. David had been praying that God would allow his child to live. So he fasted, he quit eating, he put on sackcloth and ashes, which in his day symbolized a grief, and it symbolized his passionate desire for God to please let his child get better. But in spite of all of that, the child died. So, what does David do then? David does six things in surrendering his loss to God as he begins to walk down the path that leads to peace. So you can fill in your blanks as we go along here. Number one, the first thing we need to do on the pathway to peace is to accept what cannot be changed. Accept what cannot be changed. When people receive bad news, what's the first response to it? A lot of times it's denial. I don't believe it. It's impossible. That's not real. And we reject it because our minds don't like that kind of news. Our minds go into a form of shock, disbelief. But slowly, reality begins to set in. And you can't deny the fact anymore that you've experienced a loss. It could be any kind of loss in your life. And as you slowly realize it actually did happen, that's when surrender begins. Surrender is accepting the reality of what cannot be changed, no matter how hard that is to do. Look at verses we've already looked over. Look at these verses in 2 Samuel 12, 22 and 23. David said, I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I thought perhaps the Lord would be gracious and let the child live. But why should I fast when the child is dead? Can I bring him back again? And the answer is no. So what is David doing here? He's accepting what can't be changed. He's looking the truth that was so painful, he's looking at it right in the eye. And he's not denying it any longer. Folks, when we have an immediate loss, a loss that's significant to us, and remember, losses are significant to other people at different levels. What is significant to you may not be a significant loss to somebody else. And just because it's not a significant loss to you doesn't mean it's not a significant loss to anyone else. Don't ever tell anybody, well, that's not a real loss. Yeah, it is. And when you have that immediate loss, it is shocking. For weeks, sometimes you keep expecting the loss to change. You keep expecting the loss, thinking maybe even it didn't really happen. I heard about it, but it didn't take place. Eventually, you get to a point where you have to accept that the loss did indeed occur. Now, when you accept that loss, it doesn't mean you stop caring. It doesn't mean that that loss doesn't hurt any longer. It does. And acceptance doesn't mean that you think what happened was necessarily good. God may work it out for good, but people are getting shot randomly for no, there's nothing good about that. That's absolutely wrong. Acceptance means I can't change it. David said, my son has died. I prayed that he would get better, but he died and he's not coming back. Not on this side of heaven. I didn't put it on your outline. You can write it down if you'd like, but here's a question we need to entertain. What do I need to accept that's over in my life that I've not accepted yet? What is it? Maybe it's that job that you keep thinking that someone was going to call you back and they've never called you back and it's over. Maybe it's a relationship that's over. Maybe you're hoping they'll come back, but they're not. They're not calling. They're not coming over. It's over. Some of you had a dream that hasn't panned out, and it's over. You need to get a new dream, a new vision. But the first thing you do to get on the path of peace is simply to accept it. Number two, remember that it's not the end of the story. You ever watching movies, like Libby and I enjoy watching movies, and you're watching a movie and, you know, time's running out, and all of a sudden, and what looks to be like the ending, and you buy into it, and then all of a sudden they flip the script and it's not the ending and they change it. You ever seen a movie like that? They're really good, but I kind of hate that. It's just it just gets all over my emotions. That's kind of how it is here. The loss is not the end of the story as you see it when it happens. King David, as he experienced the loss of his son, was able to focus on the hope that was ahead of him, believing that God wasn't finished. Look what he said in 2 Samuel 12, 23. I will go to him, speaking of his child, I will go to him, but he cannot return to me. David understood and accepted that his son would never be with him again on this earth. And that was painful. That was hard. But David was sure that he would be reunited with his child, that that baby's death wasn't the end of the story. We believe that as Christians. If someone we know is a believer, and a child like this who didn't even have a choice, They're going to heaven. And it's not the end of the story when we lose them. It's painful. It hurts. We have to grieve. We have to struggle. But it's not the end of the story. Now, I realize when you're down there struggling, when we're really having the hard time of it, when we're going through denial and shock, it's difficult. And somebody says, well, that's okay. They'll be in heaven. And that doesn't mean a lot to you at that time. But you start coming around, you realize it's not the end. All of us, probably all of us, have people who have passed that we know is not the end of our story with them, because one day, we get to be reunited. Right? We could all probably name names. I could name names right now of people I'm looking forward to seeing again. And it's pretty cool, because when we get to see him again, we always get to see him from that time forward. One day God's going to reestablish the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to make it the way he always wanted it to be before Adam and Eve messed it up. And from that day forward, we will always have each other in the kind of relationship that God always wanted for us. Remember, it's not the end of the story. Now, it's hard to take comfort in that, especially if it was something you weren't expecting. But it does help. It does help. I remember when my brother died, which was a very significant loss in my life. I was 33 and he was 35, and he just was in a car accident. Nobody's fault. It just happened, and he's gone. Just quick. No time to even say goodbye, not while he was consciously awake. And I don't know, a week later, someone well-meaning, came to me and said, well, it's okay. It's all right. He's better off, and you'll see him in heaven one day. There was no comfort. There was no, give me a little hug. Just, you'll see him again. Now, I know I will. I knew then I'd see him again, but it really didn't help me at that time. So be careful. I mean, it's good to let people know that, remind them of that, that they may not be there yet, but eventually we get there, hopefully, that we know we will see them again. You remember the story in the New Testament? A father was bringing his son to Jesus, and his son was dying, actively dying. And they brought him to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I would like you to heal my son. Please, he's dying. You're the only hope that he has to live. Would you please heal my son? And Jesus looked back at him and said, well, do you have faith? And the man was a little discombobulated, and he said, well, now, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of be like, oh, yeah, I'm a man of faith, because if I thought that's what it took, I would tell anybody that. The guy was honest. He said, you know what, Jesus? I have some faith, I believe, but I also doubt. So Jesus, what I need you to do is help me with my unbelief. I call that honest faith. Now, I love people who have faith and don't ever doubt. I think that's great. But most of us, it's sometimes in our life, we believe, but we still doubt, and that's okay. Matter of fact, it was good enough for Jesus. Jesus healed that boy. You can have faith. You can have belief and disbelief at the same time. It's all right. A gentleman by the name of Jerry Sitzer wrote a book called Grace Disguised. He lost his mother, his wife, and his 4-year-old daughter in a car accident. He alone survived. In his book, he says this: how could I conceive of a future without them? The very thought was abhorrent to me. Whenever I thought of the future, I still found them there. They were never going to be there, which only made me more aware of how devastating my loss was. I remembered a past that included people I did not want to give up, and I imagined a future that excluded people that I desperately wanted to keep. And it's so, so true. So what happens is when you think of going into a future without the one that you love, there's a little bit of guilt. How can I go on? It's not fair. This loved one's no longer here. I can't go on. I can't enjoy the blessings. That's called survivor's guilt. And it's okay. It can play a role in what you do to get down this path of surrender to peace. Eventually, hopefully, you can work out of that. There's a third thing that David did, a third step to surrendering. Number three, take care of yourself. Now, this seems simple, unless you're going through the throes of sadness or depression or any kind of loss. You take care of yourself. Look what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12:20. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. Put on lotions. I guess back in biblical days they had Bath and Body Works for guys. David got up. He washed himself, put on lotions, changed his clothes. Folks, we can do that in the morning in less than 15 minutes if we have to. 5 if you really have to. This sounds so simple, but when you've experienced a difficult, loving loss of someone that you had a great relationship with or something you were looking forward to, any kind of loss, it's this kind of stuff that sometimes is the hardest thing to do. So you need to reach a point as you go down this path of surrender and make it a path of peace. You just got to start somewhere. Getting cleaned up. Getting dressed. Getting out of your bedroom. Eventually, opening the front door. May not be ready to go out yet, but just open it up. Go out the front door. It's just the little things of everyday life. David gives us a very concrete example here of how we can gradually begin to respond. You start with the little things. How many steps at a time? One step at a time. And sometimes baby steps, right? One baby step at a time. No one else will think what you did was significant, but you'll know it was significant. Number four. Refocus on God through worship. Refocus on God through worship. 2 Samuel 12:20. Then he went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. Psalm 73:16 and 17 says, I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see. Until I went to the temple of God. Then I understood. Do you ever feel like that? This is King David writing this. This is David wrote like most of the Psalms. King David said, I tried to understand it, but it was too hard for me to see. I couldn't get a grip. It just was over my head. I couldn't find out what was going on. I talked with people. I read books. I listened to seminars. I did all these things, but I just couldn't see it. And then I went to church. I met God in the context of worship, and it didn't answer all my questions, but it sure did help. It gave me a good start. Folks, I understand when you go through any kind of loss, sometimes you turn your back on God. That's fine. I hope you don't stay there, but if that's how you feel, fine. Deal with it. Work through it. But eventually, you got to turn back around. Sometimes it's very hard to come back to church when you've had a deep hard, significant loss in your life. But that is a place we eventually need to get back to. The temptation in our grief is maybe to turn away from God, to run from Him. And I know people that go through a terrible grief and they run right to God. I think that's wonderful. I know people who run away from God. Sometimes you just need to let them go and just give them time. Remember, again, we all grieve in different ways. We all grieve in different time periods. Sometimes it takes a person a month. Sometimes it takes a person 2 years. Somebody has said, grief is never over. You're never over grief. You go through it, and the pangs of grief, the pain of grief, lessens, but you really don't always just go through it. You get back to a normal lifestyle, yes. Sometimes it just comes back up again. We're tempted to run from God. Some people think, hey, if God's so great, if He's so good, why did He allow this to happen? We get mad, we get angry, we question Him. It's okay if you question God, by the way. David questioned Him all the time in the Psalms. God, how come you're letting an evil nation take your children, your people, in captivity? You're letting the bad guys win. It doesn't make sense to me, God. And he's complaining to God. You can complain to God. You just really shouldn't complain about God. There's a difference. God will never abandon you in your anger. He will never abandon you in your grief, in your tears, in your doubts. And eventually, David went to God's house. Remember, folks, lamenting, complaining to God, sharing with Him the heartache you have, lamenting is as worshipful as praise and celebration. A fifth thing we learn from David is that we need to do something productive. Do something productive. Part of surrender is when we do something productive. When we're hit with an unexpected loss, what happens is we get paralyzed by it. You get stuck. One of the things you may need to do as you get to this stage is you just start moving. Tiny steps, baby steps, one step at a time. But you do something. Eventually, you've got to make yourself do something. Look at 2 Samuel 12:20 again. It says, after that, he, David, returned to the palace and ate. Maybe this is where the tradition of bringing food to the bereaved families comes from. Bible said David ate here. David went to the palace. Why? Why would David go to the palace? He went to the palace because it was a king. The palace was where he worked. It was his office. It was his place of productivity. He basically said, I'm going back to work now. This is just a day or two after David's child had died. You think David was still grieving? Yes, absolutely. Is he still sad? Yes. Is he still in a whirlwind? Yes. Here's the point. You don't have to stop your mourning to get on with your life. You get on with it anyhow. It doesn't mean it'll be the same. It may not feel the same. It may not look the same. But you still, some point in time, you get on with it. As hard as it is, you get on with it. Move slowly, one step at a time. Don't go out for the marathon run. Not even a lap around the block. Just get out. And number six, keep on loving even in your pain. Why is this important? Because when you get hurt, the natural reaction is to pull into a shell, to build giant walls around yourself and to say, I'm never going to let another person hurt me again. I'm never wanting to experience this kind of loss again, so I'm never going to get involved in whatever that was. There is a way to live without pain. You realize that, right? There is a way to live without pain. You just have no love in your life. You become loveless. No feelings, no emotions that you give or that you receive. But we all know that's not healthy. You can hurt without loving, but you cannot love without hurting. What do you do when someone hurts you, when somebody rejects you? You begin to redirect it because there are a lot of people in the world who need your love, who you could offer love and support and your gifts and your talents. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. He went on with his life. God blessed him and his wife and gave him Solomon, the wisest, wealthiest man in the world. Solomon's kingdom eclipsed David's kingdom by far. And that happened because David did not just shut himself down and say, I'll never love again. I'm never going to love again because if I do, I might, what? Lose again. And I'm protecting myself. You can do that if you'd like, but you're going to miss so many blessings that God has for you. You're going to miss so many ways that you can serve God, that you can serve others. Jesus knows what it's like to live in the middle of pain. We know it as the cross. Jesus knows what it's like to keep on loving when you don't feel like loving. Look at this verse in 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. So also we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Jesus lost his life for us, so now we can choose to give up our lives for others who need love and acceptance and forgiveness and support and grace and guidance and direction. The path of surrendering your pain, surrendering your hurt, your fears, your problems, surrendering everything in your life that's healthy or hurting and broken. God, I give it all to you. I surrender it to you. As we do this, God brings us peace. Maybe a little bit at a time, maybe it takes a while to realize it, but God will bring you his peace. Your mind and your heart will be ready to receive it once again. If you need this message because you're still going down the path toward peace and you need this message to help you begin to surrender, then I hope during our time of response you'll ask God to show you specifics of what he's calling you, leading you, challenging you to do right now. If you're okay, I guarantee you, you know somebody or you're going to know somebody soon who had a loss, who experienced some kind of loss in life, and they're going to need you in their corner. Maybe you can study this, look through this, so you're ready to help someone who is struggling with their loss. You can be one of the people in their life that brings them back, gets them through this part of their grief. Resonate, Mary. If you're not Mary right now, if you're not Mark right now, maybe somebody needs you to help them. And you'll need this at some point in time again because we live on this side of heaven and there's nothing perfect. I hope it will help you through what you're going through. All right? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that your word is so applicable to us. It just screams out at real life, things we experience that your word can teach us about so we can get through what we're going through. God, help us to realize, no matter how much we want to fight what we've gone through and the pain we feel and the struggles that we feel, at some point we just need to surrender. God, maybe we need to surrender more than one time. Maybe we've surrendered and then we've kind of just withdrawn again and we need to surrender again. God, help us through that. And Lord, just make us available to others who are struggling. Either we see them or they've come to us. God, help us to be gracious, to find out where people are and to accept them where they are, and to love them where they are, and to find out where they need to go from there, and to lovingly, baby steps, help them to stay on that path to peace. Now, God, bless us as we have this time of response. Maybe it's a time when people where they are in the pews will have something to think about, pray about, decisions to make. Maybe they want to come and talk with some of us or go to the cross, worship you through communion, fill out the Connect card, turn that in, give their offerings, whatever, Lord, you want us to do. We give you this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Charles and Irene celebrating, I think it's 26 years of marriage in a marriage enrichment weekend that's coming up as well. I know they'll want their love for all of you that are married couples to be a part. Pastor Kevin.
Thank you. So wanted to share this with you by way of a prayer request. Pastor Jason is not here this morning, as you know, because he got news early in the morning that his dad had passed away. So Jason lost his mom years ago. He was just a teenager, wasn't he? Teenager, very young, to cancer. And his dad is all he has left. Jason is an only child. So I told Jason we'd share it with you, but I wanted to do it at the end so we can have a special prayer. Okay? So I don't think he really minds at all if you text him. I'm not sure I would do a phone call right now, but if you want to text him, that would be fine. And we'll go from there, okay? Let's stand together. God, we get a chance to practice what we've learned today, right now. We're turning to you. We are surrendering to you. And as much as we can, we're surrendering Pastor Jason and his kids. I know he has relatives back home. We just surrender all of them to you, God, and ask you to be very close to them. We know you're with them. That's a promise you made, but be that kind of close to them where they have a very special sense of your presence. And we pray indeed that your grace would be sufficient for them as they go through this loss. May you guide them, keep them safe as they travel, as they work out the service. Just take care of them, God. Thank you for sending him to us, for the way you've gifted him, and the way that he graciously shares those gifts every week. Envelop him with your love, with your presence, with your peace. And help him and his kids and his family members as they now grieve this great loss. Thank you, God, that while this brings us sadness, we recognize, we proclaim, we claim the fact that you are greater and you are bigger than even a loss of life. So bless Jason, God. We ask all of these things together. Send us off now your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.